our garlic in. We've put everything to bed that we can. We've harvested everything we can. It's down in storage. And now is the point of stillness when you have your family and your food gathered together and you wait. And you wait. And that's okay. The waiting is fine because it gives you strength to go into the new year. When the plants start coming up, it's going to get very, very busy. So this is a time to recharge and renew because you're still, you are at rest. There is little work to be done out on the land. So you can attend to other smaller things that are important.
Wings thanks our guests, Dianic High Priestesses Letitia Layson and Holin Kennan. Also thanks to maternalgifteconomymovement.org and their Zoom technician, Diane Wiedenkopf. And your local community radio stations, Suzette Cohen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning, and editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The music was Lucina Chant, sung by Ruth Freehannon Barrett and composed by Kay Gardner, recorded on The Year is a Dancing Woman, Part 1.
Celebrate the birth of the sun. Light the way, O Lucina. Dance around on Sabbath night. Blessed be the great mother.
Celebrate the birth of the sun. Light the way, O Lucina. Dance the round on Sabbath night. Blessed be the great mother.
I'm Frieda Worden. Thanks for listening. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Hello, and welcome once again to Film at 11. I'm talking to Jamie Shepherd, who is an expert in all things Muppet.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for helping us solve this terrible riddle, why the Muppet Christmas Carol is the greatest Christmas movie ever made, despite having seen Die Hard several times.
May I welcome you to Christmas Morning!
All right. Well, I think we should start with just explaining what the Muppet Christmas Carol is. Released in 92, it's a Disney movie, and it's by the then late Jim Henson, who had invented the Muppets. And it's directed and produced by members of his team, Frank Oz, and is it his son, Brian?
Yes, Brian. Henson?
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, it's a classic story. Most people are familiar with Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, and it's a Muppet spin on this film with Kermit the Frog as Bob Cratchit and Michael Caine as Ebenezer Scrooge.
Bob Cratchit?
Yes, Mr. Scrooge?
Who is this?
It's Mr. Applegate, sir. He's here to speak to you about his mortgage.
Please, Mr. Scrooge, I know you're very angry about this, and I didn't mean to fall behind in the payments. Lord knows it, being Christmas and all. Oh, please don't shout at me, sir. That, and of course, little Gwen, her lungs aren't right. The doctor takes his share, don't he? I mean, you can yell and scream, and you're right, but it won't do no good, because I'm the stone you can't squeeze blood from, and that's the truth! Thank you for not shouting at me.
Oh. 17, 17, 17, 17, 17, 17, 17.
Let us deal with the eviction notices for tomorrow, Mr. Cratchit.
Tomorrow's Christmas, sir.
Very well. You may gift wrap them.
And it's just a beautiful telling of this story with a lot of great music.
Oh, my God. The songs are fantastic.
The songs are so good. The soundtrack alone is just great holiday music.
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love. It feels like Christmas. A cup of kindness that we share with another. A sweet reunion with a friend or a brother. In all the places you find love, it feels like Christmas.
But it's also a very close rendition of the original story. They include a lot of the original text, And compared to other adaptations, I think it actually follows the text a lot more than any others have.
I notice that no one acknowledges that there are puppets everywhere. It's just that human beings just naturally live in this world of Muppets. And there's such a variety of Muppets in this particular. They managed to integrate some of the characters from the TV show, but at the same time, there's a whole city of Muppets here.
Yeah.
Human beings. I just find it amazing that we can suspend our disbelief to watch this rendition of the story. When did you first see it?
Probably about 93. Like, as a small child, I have memories of the film, and I owned the VHS. I've been a Muppet fan for a long time, and I would watch it all year round. My family were so sick of me because I would just make them watch it all year.
What is a VHS? By the way, I don't remember quite what that is.
Oh, I'll clarify. Yes, a tape that you could put into your VCR and you would hear kind of a sound and then your favorite movie would play.
Okay, so it is remarkably faithful to the story. And how do you rate Michael Caine as a Scrooge?
10 out of 10. I don't think there's a better Ebenezer Scrooge that's ever been played. He's quoted as saying that he was going to play the film like he was working with the Royal Shakespeare Company, and he would never wink, he would never do anything Muppety. He was going to treat it like the literature that it was. And you really feel that when you're watching him. He's very cold in the beginning.
Christmas is a very busy time for us, Mr. Cratchit. People preparing feasts, giving parties, spending the mortgage money on frivolities. One might say that December is the foreclosure season.
And the redemption arc happens. You feel him thaw and you see him interact with these other characters, and he's just incredibly believable.
Go ahead.
Well, he also talked about how he was not sure how it was going to go with the Muppets. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, I didn't know if I'd be distracted by the puppeteer. And they always tell you, don't look at the puppeteer, just look at the Muppet. Mm. And he said when he was working, especially with Kermit, that Kermit and the puppets are so dynamic, the way that they're played. And you know their characters, even though they're playing other roles in this story. But that he never had any issues, and he just felt like he was working with other actors, which
it's really amazing.
And
his transition from the Scrooge bad person to the new one, the better one, is really subtle and stretched out over the whole trio of Christmases.
Yes,
that he goes through. I also kind of liked it at the beginning where the temperature of the world goes down when he enters a scene. He's such a cold, mirthless person.
Yeah.
But the songs, I was really impressed with the songs.
The music is beautiful. Yeah. I prefer the songs in the second half as The Ghost of Christmas Present. When he enters, that's kind of my favorite part because it gets a little more jovial and jaunty, and the music is just really uplifting and sweet, and you have Scrooge starting to join in with the dancing, and you can tell he's beginning to feel the Christmas spirit. And
do your best for love, it feels like Christmas.
It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring, the ways of love made clear. It is the season of the spirit, the message, if we hear it, is may it last all year.
Yeah, the music is fantastic. I think they did a really good job.
I can't believe there are so many different Muppets and that they all have a really distinct personality. And some of them, even like Rizzo the Rat, has so many different movements. And anyway, the puppeteering is incredible. They really look like living creatures.
Oh yeah, they do they do it with raised stages.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they shoot, is that, you know, they're underneath the stage. So you imagine they can only see themselves on a screen. They can only see the actual Muppets on a screen. And they're just, it's fantastic. The way they move, everything is so believable. I love Gonzo and Rizzo in this story because—
He was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone. Why? This really is a dirty city.
You telling me?
They are narrating the story for us. Gonzo is Charles Dickens. He's playing Dickens.
He was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, clutching, covetous old sinner.
And Rizzo is sort of his like Greek chorus, like asking the questions that the audience would ask. And they're just, you feel like you're along for the ride with them because, you know, they're breaking the fourth wall all the time.
They are,
and you just feel like you're in the room with them. It's just really fantastic.
I agree. It was really fun to see this rendition of a city that clearly doesn't really exist, but felt really tangible and felt like the Dickens story. You know, these strangely shaped buildings and the interiors and the all the Muppets that he has working for him. Only one is a little extra coal to be warm because every time he enters the room, you know, and so the gifts that he gives at the end are all tied to this redemption that he's gone through that is really touching. And have you ever seen it with a big audience of other people?
Screen? No, I've never seen it on the big screen. They should do that. One of the theaters around town should do that.
I know. I know. The Clinton Street Theater would be a good candidate. Also, the Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Might
do that. I'll bet there's also a theater in Vancouver called the Kiggins Theater that would be also, although it's, yeah, they would show it for free, just as long as you bought a lot of popcorn.
Love that.
You know, they got to make money somehow.
It's great for kids. It's, you know, it's fun for kids, but it's still a classic story, which I think appeals to kids and adults.
Mm-hmm. So beside Die Hard, you would say this is the great Christmas movie of all time.
I do think this is the great Christmas movie of all time. I think it has all of those elements that you want in a Christmas movie. It has the nostalgia because almost everyone's familiar with the story in some adaptation, or maybe you read it. It has great music, the great songs, and you start singing along. They're new songs. They're their own songs, its own soundtrack, but they're just very familiar in a way. So I think it taps into that holiday, you know, holiday music feeling. There's a redemption arc. Everyone loves it in a Christmas story or in any story, really. And I think you really feel for the characters because you see these alternative realities with the different ghosts, and you get to see how change can affect people's lives. And I think people love to see that. We love to see someone warm their heart and be generous and giving.
Oh, especially in the way that John McClane comes to accept his position with his wife in Die Hard, for example.
Sure. I don't know.
We'll return to Film at 11 in just a moment, but I just want to take this opportunity to remind you that this is listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland, and we are in the middle of our year-end membership drive. So when we come to you a few times each year to ask for your support. So what we would like you to do is go to kboo.fm/give and become a member and either renew your membership or you can start a membership and then certain types of payments that you want to make. But we can only do it if you go to kboo.fm/give. And if you like the type of programming that we do here, this catalog of choices that you have of the different types of arts and public affairs and music shows, including Film at 11. And we'll get back to DK right now.
I remember now what I was going to ask you earlier. Apparently there is an extended version.
Yes.
Have you
Of course I've seen it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course I know what's extended. So the scene that they cut out from the shorter version is a scene between young Ebenezer and his love interest, Belle. And in the shortened versions, you see him saying, we don't have enough money to get married this year. And she's upset because he said that for the past few years.
Oh.
And in the short version, they just cut away. In the longer version, the extended, there's a song.
I was sure that you and I were truly one, that our future was forever and would never come undone, and we came so close to being close, and though you cared for me, there's distance in your eyes tonight, so we're not meant to be. The love is gone.
I think it is important for the film, because in the end of the movie, there's a song called When Love is Found. And so those two pieces are nice to have. But I think as an adult, I appreciate the longer scene because you really feel for her a little more.
And
she loves this person so much. He loves his money so much. And that tale is just really heartbreaking to witness. But again, there's that redemption of love at the end, where it's not necessarily romantic love, but it is like familial and community love. And I think that's a nice transition to see.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. So among the other candidates for best Christmas movie ever made, there is, I'm sure you've seen several of these, A Christmas Story. That's the movie based on the Gene Shepherd. It's based on several Gene Shepherd stories, but principally it's about him wanting to get the kid wanting to get a Red Ryder. But then people consider It's a Wonderful Life a Christmas movie because part of it takes place on Christmas. Mm-hmm. And the same with Meet Me in St. Louis, which has great songs in it.
About
great
music.
Now, you've seen Tangerine.
I have, yeah.
Do you consider that a Christmas movie? Because it takes place on the holiday.
I don't think I would consider that a Christmas movie. I think that would just be a movie that takes place on the holiday. I think for it to be a Christmas movie, you want nostalgia, you want magic, you want a happy ending. That's what people are looking for with any Christmas movie. And I don't find the Sean Baker films to be films that end necessarily like tying up with a bow. I think they're fantastic, but
right. And so Bad Santa couldn't possibly qualify.
I don't. I guess it just depends on who you're with and what you're looking for.
One of my favorite Christmas movies is called Remember the Night, and hardly anybody's ever seen it these days, but it starred Fred McMurray and Barbara Stanwyck, and it was written by one of the great screenwriter and screenwriter directors, Preston Sturgis.
Okay.
And I think it was directed by Mitchell Leisen at the time, but it's a fantastic story, and it's got that redemption arc in that McMurray is a prosecutor and Barbara Stanwyck is under arrest and about to be put on trial for shoplifting or something, and due to plot she ends up going with him, being released into his custody, and then going back to Connecticut, I think it's Connecticut, anyway, back home. So and she who has never experienced a real Christmas suddenly is immersed in this family situation and grows to love Christmas, love Fred McMurray, and loved his family. It's very wonderful and touching. So
that
from the 30s,
like a great Christmas movie.
That's a great Christmas song. And then there's of course Scrooged.
Mm-hmm.
With Bill Murray is the most vile of Scrooges ever created. Another one of my favorite ones is The Holiday, which stars Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz, who rarely have any scenes together, because the premise is that they're both alone for various reasons on Christmas, and so they switch houses. The English person goes to Hollywood, and the Hollywood woman goes to this quaint little cottage in England, and they both, of course, fall in love with different people, and it's a real tearjerker. That ending really moves me, partially because what happens is that Eli Wallach, as a famous screenwriter whom Kate Winslet befriends, she organizes a celebration of his career with the Writers Guild of America. So for movie buffs, it's a big, fun thing. Home Alone, Miracle on 34th Street, and no fewer than 3,000 Hallmark movies are all candidates for this. But the Muppet movie really stands out because Muppets are so cute and wonderful, and they transcend being puppets.
I agree. Yeah, they're characters to me more than puppets. There's something really special about Kermit the Frog. He's so charismatic, and as Bob Cratchit, you just feel for his story so much, and his family. So his wife is Miss Piggy, obviously, and then they have their children, and just to keep everything really simple, the boys are frogs and the girls are pigs for their children. So Tiny Tim is just a little frog, and
their family
scene is so welcoming and lovely, and you know they're poor and they're just loving each other and having this holiday. And I think that scene when Scrooge, bears witness to their family dinner with the ghost of Christmas present, I think is just one of the turning points of the film, where I feel
he really starts
to see his humanity, and he's getting his humanity back by seeing these people, even though they're not people. it's a frog and a pig, but you don't feel that way when you're watching. You really just feel like you're watching a family have dinner.
Yeah, I was really struck by the Ghost of Christmas Past, the sort of fairy-ish floating female. Really fantastic special effect there.
For the time, I agree. For the time, I think it was really well done. Now we've come so far that things are very different. But she's very spooky. She's very ethereal. You feel like, oh God, we're really traveling through space and time with this paper thin ghost.
Yeah, if the movie were to be remade, I don't even know if there would be Muppets in it. They would be CGI creatures, and the narrative would be rewritten by artificial intelligence. Crucial high points.
I hope they never remake it. I think it's perfect as it is. And so, as you were saying before, this is Brian Henson, Jim Henson's son. Mm-hmm. It's his directorial debut.
Oh.
And so it's pretty significant. His father had created the Muppets and he had passed away. The film is dedicated to him. And I just don't think he could have done a better job. I think it is so perfect as it is. And I'm sure that there was also a lot of joy in making a film like this for in honor of your father and his legacy, with a lot of the same puppeteers had been working for many, many years. And so now they're working with his son. I think that legacy is really cool as well.
So according to the credits, at least three or four people each do a different Muppet and probably do the voice. Mm-hmm. As well, I'm assuming. So Frank Oz is always Ms. Piggy. Mm-hmm. And who does Kermit? Do you remember?
It's changed through the years.
They always sound the same, that particular voice.
And I think that's also just a testament to how good these artists are. Mm-hmm. Like, you would really never know that if the person changes sometimes there's times where people go away for a little bit and then they come back, and it's so seamless. And it's really impressive their commitment to the art and their ability to make the puppets feel so dynamic to the actors that are working with them, that you could work with a great like Michael Caine, who's just a legend in like every sense of the word. And everyone seems right on par with him in the film.
Wow, that's a really interesting observation. That's true, that they're so good at the Muppeteering that they hold up with one of the great movie stars and actors of all time.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that earlier, but I just finally got it for some reason. So
that's always what I think about. I think, oh my gosh, Michael Caine and Kermit are so good in this film. You know, I never think of them as like, oh, a puppet. He's a character. He's an actor to me. Kermit the Frog is an actor to me. He's not a puppet.
Well, we're drawing to a close, so I'm going to give you a few more minutes to talk about why. Well, do you have anything else to add about why it's a great Christmas movie of all time? One thing I do want to ask is, have you seen every episode of the Muppet TV series?
Not every episode. I've seen a fair few. Not every episode. There's a lot of, there were like offshoots and series and stuff that was on PBS specials. You know, there's some things you got to really go deep to check out, but I've seen a lot of the Muppets material. I really enjoy their acting and the stories that they tell. And I think that Kermit the Frog is such a charismatic leader. I think he shows that in this film and in the other work that he does. And that's part of the reason why I do love the movie so much, is because of Kermit. I think he just really pulls at your heart, and you can tell he is really kind to Scrooge despite
this,
Scrooge's
yes.
behavior. And that is Kermit. He is just very kind. And that's why I look up to him so much. I think he's just a fantastic role model, really.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, we've been talking to Jamie Shepherd, who has now established herself as our resident Muppet expert. And I'm sure that we'll have, you're welcome to come back next year, if there is a next year, but I'm sure that between now and then, there'll be some certain films that you'll be especially interested in talking about, and we'll have you back.
Well, thank you. I would love that. Yeah, there's plenty of Muppet material to talk about. Thank you for having me.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I'm going to stop the recording. It's going to make a noise.
Well, thanks for listening. And remember, this is listener-supported community radio. Think about becoming a member today and going to kboo.fm/give. We're trying to raise $75,000 by December 31st, and we can only do it with your support. So go to kboo.fm/give or touch the donate box that's there on your mobile app. Film at 11 will return next week. So until then, as DK would say, keep watching the screens.
May I welcome you to Christmas morning!
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. A cup of kindness that we share with another, a sweet reunion with a friend or a brother. In all the places you find love, it feels like Christmas. It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring, the ways of love made clear. And it is the season of the spirit, the message if we hear it is make it last all year.
It's in the giving of a gift to another, a pair of mittens that were made by your mother.
It's all the ways that we show love that feel like Christmas. A part of childhood we'll always remember. It is the summer of the soul in December. Yes, when you do your best for love, it feels like Christmas.
It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring, the ways of love made clear. It is the season of the spirit, the message if we hear it is may it last all year.
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas. It's true, wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas.
It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like
thank you.